Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
We're going to start off, close out our series on soul food today, and we are talking this morning about being positioned for prayer, and how fasting positions us in a place to develop a healthy prayer life, And so as we have gone through this series and talking about prayer and fasting and how it changes us and how it strengthens us, this morning we're going to look at three stories where fasting spurred on prayer and developed an earnestness or an urgency to call on God and pray. Of course, there's many more stories in the Bible and stuff like that, but today we're just going to focus on three. We're going to focus on three parts. And so let's just take a moment and pray before we start. Father, I thank you for the privilege to come into your house to worship you, to honor you. And Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, I ask you to hide me behind the cross and let your words be my words. Speak through me today, Father. Lord, I pray for everyone in the room just to have open hearts and open ears to hear from you. Lord, I pray that people are encouraged and challenged all at the same time. And that, Lord, when we leave here, we look more like Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing we want to talk about is a hoped-filled prayer, hope-filled prayers where we pray with hope, we pray with anticipation. We see in Joel 2, verse 12 and 13, it says this, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and render your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." See, we have to understand that Joel is it's a little book, but it's just filled with prophecy. Throughout the book, you're going to see phrases like the day of the Lord. And when we hear this phrase, the day of the Lord, throughout Scripture, writers use it to imply different past events where God has saved the people of Israel and confronted evil. But we also see it used in a future prophetic manner about how God will defeat evil and save the world. Joel is a prophet who leads Israel back into genuine place of humility and reverence before God. And rather than just a religious hey, this is what it is, he leads them back to a reverence, a deep connection with the Father. Joel reminds them that God's mercy is more powerful than his wrath. He sparks a new hope in the Israelite people and for them to see that God has not abandoned them despite their sinful ways. Are we today, are we afraid to approach God in prayer because of our track record? Because of our past, what we have done? Are you afraid to approach the Father? See, during the soul care time when we were here at the church, we were able to fill out and look at different things of how we see God. And see, some of us, if we see God only as a discipliner or as a judge, then we have a hard time approaching him. Because we feel like he's just going to judge us or he's going to discipline us. But God is also a loving God. See, Joel, he spurs us on in the verse that we read to render our hearts, not our garments. Which is really just different wording for truly just to allow God to repair what is broken on the inside. That you don't have to fake it on the outside. God wants to repair us. He wants to heal us. For some of us, he wants to reparent us. He wants to be a loving Father. And he's saying, just render our hearts. Give him our hearts. Return to him with all our heart and fasting. There is a hope of restoration for the deepest of wounds that you and I carry. That God wants to bring that healing. See, fasting positions you and I into a place where we can see hope for the future because of God's mercy on us. But Joel starts off with, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. See, when we return to God, we have to give him all of our hearts. This is why fasting can be such a challenge for us, because we don't realize how strong our flesh is. Some of you have experienced that in the last 21 days, where the first few days were a little bit, actually, some of you were, it may have been actually easy. And you were actually anticipating, like, oh, this, I thought this was going to be hard. Chaz said that he can go without food many times during the day, and then all of a sudden he says he's going to fast and he's starving. I don't know what's wrong with him. And then all of a sudden, a few days in, maybe it's 2 weeks in, maybe it was yesterday, that you're walking by the counter and somebody in your house left candy out. Or somebody sent you a video on social media that you're like, they only send funny videos. Or maybe they only send inspiring videos. So God wouldn't mind if I watched an inspiring video. And all of a sudden you're like, man, after 20 days, you think my flesh would be quiet. This is why so often in Scripture we see, return to me with all your heart. Seek me with all your heart, and you will find me. Here's the amazing thing about God. He doesn't change. So when he says, seek me with all your heart and you will find me, that still stands for today. So if you're having a hard time finding him, you might have to ask him, Holy Spirit, what part of my heart have I not given you? Because it says in your word, and it's a promise, that if I seek you with all my heart, I will find you. But I feel like there's a distance. And God, when there's a distance, I realize that you don't move, so therefore I have. Help me, as Joel says, return to you. Return to you with all my heart. And when we pray and when we fast, many times it will lead us to a repentance prayer. A repentance prayer. When we pray a prayer of repentance, where we begin to understand that, God, there is a separation between us, and I know it's not you, so what is it? And when he tells you what it is, it's not just a, okay, I'll stop doing that. It's a quick prayer of, Father, forgive me for doing that. Forgive me for allowing that to come in between us. A repentance prayer. See, we read in Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, verse 4 to 11, it says this. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept. This is where Nehemiah hears of the state of Jerusalem. I sat down and I wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your heart and your eyes open. Do you realize as Nehemiah prays at the beginning, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love for those who love him and keep his commandments. When he prays like this, he is not reminding God of who he is. God has not forgotten. He's reminding himself. Many of us, we need to learn to pray scripture, not to remind God, but to remind us. I'm praying to the great and awesome God, the God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love for me, who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 6, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear prayer, to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. I love the fact that as easy it is for us to pray for other people's sins. Lord, forgive us as Bethel, for the people of Bethel have sinned against you. Even I. I love how Nehemiah is honest. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me, see that again, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. The story of Nehemiah is about rebuilding what had been torn down, restoring what sin has destroyed, and repenting of our part in it and returning to God. What we have to come to a place of is a place of acceptance that we play a part, that if we are not wholeheartedly with God, then there's a part of our heart that we're holding back from him. And therefore, there's a part of us that just needs to repent. Taking time to repent each day should never be words that Christians shy away from. It means you're realigning your heart with God. I feel like sometimes when we talk about the word repent, we believe we're talking about big, massive sins that we as Christians have created a sin scale. Well, I might have done this, but I'm not as bad as that. And what we have to realize is sin is sin, and it separates us from Jesus. And so therefore, just taking time at the end of the day just to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the thoughts that I had that were not of you. Forgive me for the words I said that are not of you. See, Nehemiah was a cupbearer who was brokenhearted to see the state of Jerusalem and its people. So he gets permission to go and rebuild the wall and equip the people to turn back to God and worship him properly. Here's the amazing thing about Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he doesn't complain about the situation. He repents for what they did. So many times We're quick to complain. We're quick to tell God or ask God, why is this happening? I can't believe this is happening, without actually owning up for a moment my part. The part where I didn't fully trust God. The part where I thought I knew better. The part where I moved forward when I wasn't actually told to. The part where I had the conversation when God told me to be quiet. Some of the walls in our lives we built that separate us from God. And we're trying to figure out where these walls came from. And it's, God, forgive me for believing a lie. Can you show me the truth? And as he shows the truth, believing it, and asking God to help us with that belief. And we slowly will take bricks down. If we're like Nehemiah, and we're slower to complain and quicker to repent, what can God do in our lives? See, fasting positions us in a place where we choose repentance, allowing God to come into our lives again and restore and rebuild the broken parts in us. As you've prayed and fasted the last 21 days, if you have aligned yourself with God and he's restored some things, he rebuilt some things, and he's healed some things. Many of you shared how close you feel to him. I want to ask this question. Is there something from the past 21 days that you fasted or gave up that from here on out, it's not that you're giving it up, you've just realized it's not important? And so instead of fasting, you've just developed a new lifestyle that actually gets you closer to God. So you don't have to wait till next January to be like, man, when are we doing those 21 days of prayer and fasting? Because those 21 days, I felt really close to God. There's things in my life that I fasted that I'm like, I don't know if I'm going back. Because when I always try to figure out, God, why do I feel like there's something between us? Or God, I don't feel like I had time for you today. Or I feel like there was a closeness before that I'm lacking today. That all of a sudden, that closeness is there. Miraculously, there's time in my day to spend with God. What is it in the last 21 days that you're like, you know what? I'm not going back. It's a lifestyle. As Jesus walked and he said, these ones only come out by prayer and fasting, but we didn't see him pause. You know that it was just a part of his life. The third one is this. We're positioned to pray. We're positioned for private prayers. How do we pray in our private times? Matthew 6:5-6, it says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does that mean we should never pray publicly? No, it's not what it's saying. It's a heart issue. I've had a spiritual father tell me when we talked about so many places in Scripture where you see that Jesus has said they have received their reward because they get a pat on the back from men, encouragement from men. Now, let's be honest. A pat on the back feels great. But when we do it for that reason, and Scripture says you've received your reward, I'm just going to be honest. None of you can give me an award like Jesus can. It takes a long time to get to a point where obedience to the Father trumps men's approval. And that's hard. That's hard. I don't want you to think it's something like, oh, it's simple to do. No. But to know that you're obedient to the Father, that at the end of the day you can say to God, God, did I do everything that you asked me to do? And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And you're able to go to sleep. I had a friend call me one time. And he was just growing in the gifts of the Spirit. And he was growing in wanting to be bold with what God has asked him to do. And he was, I need you to hear the story. He was in a church, Pentecostal church, believes what we believe. And he went to pray for some people. And there was leaders in the room. And as he went to pray, he felt like he was supposed to pray with boldness for healing. And all of a sudden he realizes, like, man, if I really go for this, I don't know what these other leaders, what these other people are going to think. And so he prayed a good, safe prayer. And as he was driving, he called me and he said, Chad, how do you do this? How do you step out knowing that people might think you're weird or different? Now understand, there's weird, and then there's just God weird. And Christians are really good at being weird. And we either are like weird, or we're like so safe that nobody knows we're a Christian. You kind of have to be God weird. Because we're not supposed to fit in. He's like, how do you do it when you know that people, Christians, are going to think you're weird? And this was my question to him. I said, how does your gut feel right now? He's like, oh, I feel like I missed something. And what if my prayer was the prayer that brought healing to his body, not because of me, but just because of God's faithfulness? And I said, well, that's it right there. I said, that gut feeling, where you feel like you missed it, what could have happened, when that feeling outpowers the feeling of what will these people think, that's when you're able to take the step. Because see, here's the amazing thing about God and Holy Spirit. He won't force you to do anything. You can say no. Sadly, with a heart of repentance to you, I have sat right over there, knowing that God has wanted me to pray for healing, specific healing, and all I've thought is, oh man, I prayed for healing the last few weeks. What are people going to, like, man, here he goes again. And I haven't. I'd like to stand here and tell you, I just pushed through, I did it anyway. I didn't. And I sat at home all Sunday afternoon, knowing. Here's the two things I was supposed to pray for. See, now maybe two people are upset. Before it was one. They're like, oh, maybe it was just this. And I didn't. And what if? What if that physical element in you continued because I didn't? Well, Chad, God can work through anybody. I understand, but God is asking me to be obedient. Well, God, if you didn't pray, God will find somebody else. Do you know what? I can see that in Scripture in certain spots. And then I also know that God told Saul, that a man named Ananias was coming. So if a guy named Chad showed up, I don't know if Paul would have received him at the door. Maybe that day you're Ananias. Chad, that's a lot of pressure. It's simple obedience because the results don't rest on you. See, when people get healed, when we take time in the room and we pray for healing and I step out and we pray, I want you to know if you don't get healed, I take no responsibility for that. On the other side of it, if you get healed, I take no responsibility for that. What is God asking you to do out of obedience? That you're willing to step out and you're willing to be that God weird. It's a heart issue. Because see, when Jesus is teaching us to pray, he's not telling you that you should only pray in a closet. It's your heart. Where does your heart line up? See, we should pray in private, but not so private that your children don't see you praying. Because where will they learn? See, if you take this to a point where it's like, no, 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 it says go into a room, shut the door so nobody sees me, then who is teaching your next generation they should pray? It's a heart issue. Because see, Matthew 6, he continues and he talks about fasting in verse 16. It says, when you fast, do not look glumpy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces in their fasting so that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. See, when you're fasting, you don't have to tell people. Well, Chad, on the sheet that we signed up for, you asked us to tell you. I didn't tell anybody we were fasting. I just wanted to pray for you during the fast. That was all. But there's people who fast when it's like you're fasting coffee, you're fasting caffeine. Hey, you want to get together for coffee this week? Oh, can't, I'm fasting. I would love to get together. Where do you want to meet? Let's meet at the Liver Yard. Perfect, because I know every cafe serves water. I don't have to tell you. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the heart issue? Hey, I sent you a message on Instagram. Did you get it? Ah, sorry, man. I missed it. You know what? Right now, the best way to get me, just fire me a text. Oh, okay. Did you get my message on Instagram? Oh, I'm fasting social media. Such a burden. It's like, you've received your reward. You received it. It's a heart thing. Don't look so gloomy. But when you fast, instead anoint your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Our private obedience equals the measure of our public impartation. Your private obedience brings equal measure to your public impartation. You want to be imparting into people? You want to be able to share with people? That comes from what you do privately. That's where the strength comes from. You can't pour out what you don't fill up. So I ask you again, is there something from the past 21 days that you won't give up? How has your prayer life changed now that you are positioned to pray and positioned to pray differently and so you won't go back? Let's stand together. Prayer team, I'm going to ask you to come and just stand across the front. We're going to do something as a church. When we started our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we started by doing communion together. So tonight during the prayer summit, we are actually going to take communion together again to break the fast. But what I want us to do at the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting is I want us just to stand together, and as a church, we're reading from Matthew 6. And now I realize we just talked about don't pray like hypocrites on the street corner, but we're about to pray together. Standing in unity, we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. And as we do it, I want you to realize that you're standing with brothers and sisters that will lift you up. We already prayed about it today. But I believe that as a church, as we have prayed and fasted together for 21 days, there was over 150 people that signed up to pray and fast. I want to tell you that that is way more than I anticipated. I won't tell you how little my faith was. I will just tell you it was way more than I anticipated. You can guess how way more that is. But thank you. Thank you for joining us on this. We have felt a shift in the house. I believe you have felt it as well on Sunday mornings that there's a difference in the room. That is because of us standing together in the time of prayer and fasting. And so I do encourage you, don't stop. Continue. Because you've seen the outpouring of it. You've seen the reward. It's amazing what Holy Spirit will do when we allow him the space. And so let's pray together. I believe we have the slides on the screen. I really hope I made this. I did. Good. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Just so you're aware, that part's not in Matthew, but you guys rocked it. I was actually wondering, I'm like, will they continue this? Well done. Now most of you be like, that's not in Matthew? It's not in Matthew. Only some translations have it in other gospels. The front is open for you. There's people here that want to pray with you. If you need breakthrough in your life, if you just need somebody just to pray with you, just to hold your hand for a moment, just to lift you up, that's what they're here for. You hear me say this every week, and I believe you're actually like, I think he just says it. I don't ever want you to leave this room the way you came in. Ever. Even this morning as we talked, like, maybe you're strong. Maybe everything's great. I still don't want you to leave the same way you came in. I want you to leave a step closer to Jesus, more like Christ. Because until we're sitting with Christ in heaven, there's still another step to take. He wants to draw closer with you. And so, Father God, I thank you for the privilege and honor to come into your house and to worship you. Father, I thank you for how you've changed our hearts and you've changed our lives through the last 21 days. And Lord, as we gather tonight to celebrate what you've done and pray together and to hear stories together, and then, Lord, yes, to break bread together, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will strengthen us and you will walk with us. Let us continue to be a light for you wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tonight. Go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.